indifferent. And your home phone number?
289-2210.
And your work number?
289-5396.
Date of birth?
May 17th, 1945. Hair, it's sticking all over. Well, it's a good thing you don't take no photos today.
Place of birth.
Make it a couple before you go.
No.
Muncie?
Muncie Band Office. What is that? What is
of birth.
Oh, Muncie? London.
London?
Yeah, London, Ontario.
And your band membership is Muncie Band?
Mm-hmm. Muncie of the Thames.
Is it EY?
M-U-N-S-E-E is how they say you're supposed to spell it.
Yeah, I know. I used to see it like
that. Yeah. Well, that's what their letterheads are. M-U-N-S-E-E.
Muncie of the Thames?
Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to put our, what do you call it? Oh, no, it isn't either. But down here.
Yeah. Okay. Your craft work is speed work? Mm-hmm. Is there any other type of work that you do that pertains to Native?
I've never really worked with leather. I would like to, but I haven't really. I like to make moccasins and stuff.
Did you ever do blankets or quilts or anything like that?
Okay. I got lots of stuff at home. That's one of my little goals, but I don't know if it'll ever get done.
This is the Muncie Band Office.
Yeah.
So. You do an interview?
I'm easy. I'm from Minnesota. What, when you started doing beadwork, who taught you?
I don't really know their names, but I think they were from across the river, Oneida.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was a lady from Oneida. She lived in London.
And were there classes?
She did it in her own home. I think there was about 10 of us she had at the time. And she just did it on her own. She never charged us no money. Or only thing she charged us for was our beads and the thread. But she supplied the looms and pretty well everything else. But she just did it on her own, must have been. Because I know I never paid no money. Nobody did. She just... There was another lady there too, but I don't know who they were. There was three of them. And I don't know what, like now I don't remember because that was about, let's see, Rachel wasn't born yet. She's 16. About 20 years ago, must be, have to be 20 years ago when I first learned so.
Why did you want to learn beadwork? What was the purpose?
At the time, just for something to do, because my time was idle and I didn't have nothing to do. Both my children were into school then, and I just didn't have anything. I had a lot of time on my hands. And when I first learned it, I wanted to stay with it because I liked it. That's the only thing. I liked it. I liked sewing anyways because I made most of my own children's clothing then. That's the reason why I stayed with it, because I liked sort of like sewing to me. And but she just taught us the basics. We never learned anything else.
When you were living in the city at that time,
mm-hmm.
off the reserve.
I've been living in the city since I was about 6-7 years old. We lived out here when I was younger till I was about 6, and then my mother moved into town. And we went to Mohawk in Brantford for 3 years,
Is that the residential school you were in?
Mm-hmm. And then we moved back to London, come back to London again, and I just stayed here. And I lived in London until 1974, 75, then I moved out here.
How was it for you holding on to your Indian culture while you were away from the reserve?
I didn't know anything about Indian culture when I was away from the reserve.
Did you feel a split? Did you feel that there was a big split between...
Yeah, I knew there was difference between the people, but I didn't... I was never taught my language, or I didn't even know we had a culture or anything like that, because I think I went to school in London at a very young age, so I didn't even know that there was, that Indians did beadwork and anything like that.
When you found out, was there like a culture shock? Did you find that there was a culture shock?
Yeah. I felt sad because I didn't, like, you know, I was wishing that I'd have knew it. And then after the powwows start coming down here on the reserves, like when I first moved back, and then they were talking about powwows and things like that. And when I start going to the powwows, that's when I start realizing more then. And I think that's why I just sort of just stayed right into with beadwork then after that. But it was never taught at home.
What about the residential school then? Did you find that it was harder on you, or did you find it a lot easier to go to a residential school? Because some Native children tend to find it harder where they have learned how to speak Ojibwe or whatever nationality they have.
Oh,
did you find that hard to accept going to a residential school?
No, not really. I guess because it was in a city too. Like it was close into the city, the school itself. And we spent a lot of time going reading. We spent a lot of time in the city itself. And the high school there was right in the city. That's where I went to school. High school too was at Pauline Johnson, the high school up there.
Was it the residential school you went to?
The Mohawk, the Brantford, the Mushole, yeah.
Because I heard so many stories about that school. And
well, this was
such different.
Yeah, it is. Like when we had that reunion up there in June, was it in 1984? Yeah, 1984 they had that reunion up there, and the people that I met up there is totally told us totally different stories than the way it was when we got there. Even my cousins that were up there for 13 years, they've got different stories than the way things were when we got there. When we got there, things must have been starting to improve.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't go till I was about 13 or 14. And I only stayed in till I was 16 to go to high school. I spent 1 year of high school there. So I was 16 when I left there. But I went in when I was 13. And they never taught us no culture or anything there either. We just got the basic, they must just went by the curriculum,
mm-hmm.
For the education system. We never, was never taught no, well, it wasn't run by Indians though either anyways. It was run by European people. So maybe we never learned nothing there.
So what do you think about today, that with the way Native people feel about their heritage and the difference, the values are so much different at the time you were growing up and at the time that I was younger? How do you feel about the values today? Do you find that is, you probably might find a lot easier to work with a non-Native person than another Indian person would,
mm-hmm.
because they have been dealing with
mm-hmm. Well, I've worked in London too ever since I was 13.
Mm-hmm.
I would get summer jobs at any place that would hire me, really. I would get summer jobs and worked there when I was 13. I worked quite a bit in London before I left. So that's, I do get along a lot. I do get along pretty good with, there's nothing. Like, I think a lot of them, I've talked to other people and you can see that it's different for them.
And how do you feel when you come across this? Like, let's say if you were put in a situation where you wanted to learn beadwork, and somebody that you've known for years that was a non-native person come along and said, well, why do you want to learn that? Like, what would you tell that person why you'd want to learn it? And if they made you feel that you shouldn't learn that, would you stop doing it?
No. I wouldn't have stopped doing it, because when I first started doing it, I got really interested in it. I knew there was more to it, but I never really come across anybody that, you know, I could ask questions from. As years went by, I've got more information just from going to powwows and meeting older people and talking to them about beads and things like that from different reserves. I've just learned it through the years down the road, a lot of things. But right then there at the time, I wanted to do it, because after a while I did find out that it was part of our culture, and I wanted to teach it to my family, because I realized how, what would you call it, something that you never knew, it was there, but you just never knew. Yeah. And I didn't want my children to go through the same thing. Because it does bother you after a while, even not to speak your own language.
So do you speak your language at all?
No.
Would you be doing something like that in the future?
There's not too much, like, it's hard for me now to try and speak my language. It's hard for me to get my tongue on some of them words. I have a hard time. I did go through some classes. I did take up some language classes, but I gave it up because I couldn't do it. I couldn't pronounce the words, and I couldn't spell the words, and it was just frustrating me, so I just gave up on it. I think you have to learn at a young age to keep, and you have to keep at it and at it. And practice it all the time. Because it's hard, I didn't start till I must have been about 30, 35, 36 when I tried to take up Indian language. I've got books at home and I go over some of the words, but I can't do it. My daughter was taking it in school, because she happened to be around when they start teaching it at school. But see, it's because we don't speak it at home either, and she doesn't really stick to it. She'd like to, but it's not, it sort of has to be like a fluent language, I think, if you really want to. And other people have to talk it if you really want to keep it up.
Your daughters, how
they could you teach them? Mm-hmm. But they also, like later on, well, I taught them when I was in town, but later on they learned in school when we moved down here, because my youngest one was only 4 years old when I moved back down here, and my other ones were 6 and 7 when we moved back. So they also learned it from me, and they also learned it from the school down here.
What traditional dance? Do they go to powwows and dance, or do they
that's the first time too that we were introduced to powwows when we moved down here too, and it must be the same way, like when you move into the city, like if you've never lived in the city for, you know, years and years, and you've always just lived on a reserve, and then you go to the city, you know how you feel, like you don't belong or something. Well, that's the way it was for us, because we lived off the reserve for so long. When we come back down, my other children were used to being in school, going to school in the city, and they didn't, this was all new to them too, this powwow and this dancing and drums, and they were shy to get up and go in and dance. They never really wanted that part. But my youngest one, she did, like she would go into the powwows and dance, but she was young, that's why. But these other two of mine, no, they wouldn't. But I think it was just because, I don't know, they just didn't feel like they belonged. They didn't even feel like they were Indians, you know, or something must have been why they didn't like to do it.
I can understand that, because I went through that stage before. Like, I was a lot older when I went to the powwow and started dancing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know I was Indian until I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to the powwow, the funny thing was I had people that dragged me there. Like, they just, well, they didn't actually drag me. They just told me, come on, it's time for you to come in and find out who you are.
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing was, when I went in that circle, I thought, oh, this is dancing, this is stupid, I can't do this anymore. And yet I was doing it. And after a while, I just kept going in. And
mm-hmm.
Next thing I know, like, the very first outfit I made, I went in, and I felt, geez, I feel there, because I've never wore a dress, or I've never wore leggings, or anything like this. And I used to always feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been in the last maybe 3 or 4 years that I said, I don't care, because I'm enjoying myself. If I don't look right, the hell with it, you know,
mm-hmm.
because it's me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that's one of the ways of finding out everything you need to know about
mm-hmm.
the colors of your Indian beadwork.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you find it all. If you go through a powwow and you start dancing, the people that dance will start coming up to you and telling you bits and pieces about
mm-hmm.
your design and your work.
Mm-hmm.
And what colors.
What kinds of things, since you've lived here, has the reserve done to help keep some of the crafts going on? Either things that they're doing now or things that they may have done in the past?
As far as Muncie, Muncie itself, there hasn't been nothing developed over here at all, but I think it's mainly because it's such a low population. Like on a reserve itself, the population's only about 102.
Mm-hmm.
That's from the oldest to the youngest. But like the full population is 258 now, but that's, you know, with the people living off the reserve.
Is there much cooperation between the three reserves here that are so close together?
Yeah, we, like, that's how I learned a lot of things, is from, well, when I would come back and forth to school out here and then go to London and back out here again. And I met some, like, I went to school with the people from Oneida and from here. And now that I come back, when I see them, like I see them more now, and the people, and I talk to them now, and they're more developed in their culture, I find, over on the Oneida side. I don't know whether it's because it's a bigger band or they got more population, or they even still have the longhouse over there. And Chippewa, there is a few there that are trying yet too to try and keep things going. They have a committee over there that try to keep the culture alive over there.
Has there ever been something preserved in some center where they would be able to work together to set up some programs or classes or that kind of thing?
No, they don't really do that. Even over there in Oneidas, they have their own powwow committee over there, and they put their own powwows on. Over in Chippewa, well, we work with Chippewa more closely than we do with Oneida. And we, I was involved with the powwows at first, just as a volunteer to help out more or less a few times. And my girls would go over and help out at the powwows. But as far as Muncie is totally not into it at all, into anything. I don't know whether it's because it's so small or what it is. I was trying to get some of these younger ones together, and we were talking about setting up a powwow committee and trying to get a powwow set up, but we're still too small. It wouldn't work. Yeah, I know it is. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the powwows being really important for you to sort of begin to be aware of your culture. How long ago was that first powwow?
That was in 1974 when I moved down here. Yeah. This is 1987 now. And that's when I first made my costume down in here. 1979, my grandson was born. I was making my I felt guilty because I didn't know. I was trying to put this costume together, and I felt guilty because I didn't know if I was doing it right. If I had the right color beads, or if I had to have a design that meant something.
I was going to tell you something. You want to check that out?
Yeah.
You feel that something's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you're finding yourself and finding yourself at a higher level. You should go in.
If you could, if there was something that you thought could be done here on this reserve, what would you like to see done to either revive or preserve? Crafts, the culture, the language on this reserve. I know it's small,
mm-hmm.
but what would you like to see done?
I think it would have to be, I'd like to see it done in a book form, because I find, that's the way I tried to find it, in a book form but written by Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these books that I come across are not written by Indians. I think that's how I got mixed up a lot, but I think if it was written by an Indian for the younger generation to read, so that things would be explained to them right, you know, then that's what I would like to see for
tell
the future.
More, tell me more about the differences, because I think this is important. The difference between something that what the differences are between what's written by a lawyer and what's written by a man, and how to change the tape for the same people.
Mm-hmm.
What kinds of books had you read?
Mostly by William Hunt is the ones that I've got. I got most of his books. William Hunt.
They exaggerate the native work.
I think.
Or they put in the words that they want to hear and not the words that an Indian person will come right out to work on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't you say?